typically you don't want price to go straight up because it means it's going to usually come straight back down for a big chunk of it. Parabolic moves are dangerous. They're great in the short term. They're exciting, but they end very abruptly. So if we go and take a look at the monthly chart of gold, but silver might get hit, miners might get hit. I like to look at the stock market like the ocean tide. Like what happens to all boats when the tide goes down? They all go down, right? So the nice thing about gold and silver is they're a commodity outside of the stock market. So when we're in a bearish environment or there's selling in the stock market, meaning the tide is going down, if you hold gold miners, those gold miners are little boats trying to stay up while the tide is going down. So you might as well just shift out of the equity space and go into the physical metal side of things. Yeah, I believe we're coming into this right here, which is the 2008 kind of peak. I think we're getting very close. I think gold can still squeeze higher and run up quite a bit. But I think this is kind of like the last, I think the next breakout here is the last run up. There's some money to be made. It's be a strong momentum move for short-term traders. I also think after that, it could be a very good point to potentially trim off physical metal positions and reallocate once there's a reset. I mean, I don't believe in holding into a big bubble when all the levels are hit and everything's going absolutely crazy.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Steve Yang here. Today, we've got Chris Vermeulen from the Technical Traders. If you follow gold, silver, or the miners, you've probably seen his work. Chris is a technician investor who reads markets through price action and cycles, cutting through the noise. He's able to see where momentum's really flowing. He's the founder and chief investment officer of the Technical Traders. Great to have you, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
Well, today I like to dig in and zoom out and zoom in about what the charts and data are showing about gold, silver, miners, ETFs, and what could possibly be next as we close out the year and move into 2026. Today I saw gold hit north of, recently it's hit north of 4,200. It's been, looks to be trending up to me at least, moving towards possibly breaking all-time highs, maybe. What do you think is driving the price of gold right now? Is it buying from central banks, institutions, retail, and where do you see things going? Is there more room to run?
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of pieces to that. I think, gold's been going up for the last, I think, a couple of years simply. I think the central banks have been slowly accumulating and investors are accumulating. But the big run-up that we really saw, I think, from September to where we are now for gold, silver, and miners, really, I think that was even more so of the mass market participants. It was kind of herd mentality. People started to catch on and really started to chase it. I think there was a pretty big level of FOMO over the past couple of months. If you weren't in precious metal space, you felt like you're missing out. And we hit a tipping point really kind of in October where, it was so intense. The amount of emails and comments and questions about gold and silver that I was getting in emails and from members and stuff, it was so thick. Like people who weren't in it felt like they were missing out. And people who owned a bunch of it still thought they didn't have enough. Like it was insane. Like it doesn't matter. Like, so this last run-up, I think, was definitely a crowd, a herd mentality play. But I do think there's still underlying accumulation going on. This recent pullback that we've seen in gold and silver, it's just a little bit of air getting let out of this kind of overbought market. It just ran up too quickly with too much of the mass kind of market participants. And so it's just trying to shake them out. I do think we're going to see gold and silver go a lot higher. I think gold potentially another 25, 30%. I think silver could go 50, 60, 70%. And that's the same with platinum and palladium. So right now the market's just trying to work off a little bit of an overbought market condition. It's trying to shake out some investors, and it's doing a good job because back in October, everyone needed gold and they need more of it. And then like as of like 2 weeks ago, people were actually scared. They thought it had topped, and they're like, I don't know about gold anymore. And so now gold's putting in a bottom. So I play the sentiment extremes along with technicals, and the sentiments give you a really good idea of turning points. Overbought, oversold conditions.
So the sentiment is pretty easy to see. You see the lines that like weren't there, just kind of everyone's buying gold. What did the charts show you? Like, can you show me kind of from a chart perspective, are there technical patterns that give you confidence? or an idea of which way it's going?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on with the chart of gold. I mean, I like to keep things really simple. I don't get into, a million indicators and all of that stuff. The long story short is if we were to just use Fibonacci, which is one of my favorite tools, it's one of the most powerful forces in the universe. Everything has this Fibonacci sequence and this golden ratio. And just based off these multiple bull waves that happen in the daily chart of gold, we can just go back to last November, the big rally that we had up into earlier this year, and then we can find out the strength of this pullback, and it carries us forward to where we should see this market run to. And so, for example, we had done a trade right over here playing on gold. We had a nice 15% upside. We hit this 100% measured move right here. We closed out our gold trade. It was just a pure swing trade, hit the target, get out. And right after that's when the FOMO actually kicked in. You go into this little blow-off phase. And I was telling, this is when everybody had to own it. They had to get back in. They had to buy more. I'm like, guys, relax. This is not a good sign if you feel this way, right? And then the market kind of shook things out. But what's interesting is the new chart pattern here. Now that we've got a peak and we have a potential low, we can actually figure out where this next upside move is going to be. So we can go to the high, the strength of this pullback. If we carry that forward, this shows us where we could see gold run up to, which is about $5,100 per ounce. And so, that's what the chart is telling us. And at this point, the question is, how quickly does it get there? Is it going to run there over the next 1 or 2 months, have a very strong parabolic move, or is it going to trade sideways for a few months and then run higher? I think it's going to take its time. I think we're going to see it kind of work itself up over the next several weeks, up into, 4,500 or so. And then I think we'll kick into a parabolic phase where it just shoots higher. And then we see another big wave of FOMO and everybody goes, bananas over it again, and then it'll peak out. So that's kind of what I think is going to unfold for the chart of gold.
I'm a very visual guy, so this is very helpful. Like when you say it's showing you possibly doing parabolic to 51, are you able to, show me the different possibilities of what it might look like?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So we could easily see the price of gold move up and maybe have a little bit of a bull flag, a bit of a pause as it comes into resistance. And then it may run up into the 618 number, which is a very significant, this is the golden ratio, the 618 extension, meaning 61% of the previous rally. That's where we should see it rally to. And typically we see a pause along there. And if we see a pause or pullback at the 618, we almost always see price of any asset go up and hit the 100% measured move. The one stands for 100% move. So whatever this first rally was, the height, that is the same move on the second wave. So I think it could stair step its way up to a certain point, and then I think it'll go ballistic and kind of shoot higher as everyone piles in and chases it, and they don't care what price they get. The other scenario, if we were to kind of look at this, would be, it really just starts to take off here and just goes straight up, which is not, I mean, it's great if you're going to get out. Typically, you don't want price to go straight up because it means it's going to usually come straight back down for a big chunk of it. Parabolic moves are dangerous. They're great in the short term. They're exciting, but they end very abruptly. So if we go and take a look at the monthly chart of gold, this is a good visual of kind of these scenarios. So let me just zoom back out a little bit. This is going to load here. Here we go. So typically, once things start to go parabolic, like in the 80s, we saw a huge run up. Usually they come straight back down. We see this type of thing over and over again. We can kind of go back to the 2008. We had a big rally up. We had a big bull flag, which is, I believe, kind of like the bull flag we saw recently over the past couple of years. And then gold started this great big run and it went parabolic. And then it had a pretty big pullback. It may not look like much, but it was about a 34% pullback. And then, of course, gold ended up having this next kind of shoot, this parabolic rocket higher. And these scenarios generally end up in a very big correction. If we just go back in time, you can see once they go parabolic and put in a top, gold pulled back about 60% from this one over here, it pulled back about 44%. This one pulled back about 30, 34 and change. And so we're kind of into one of these parabolic moves. And, silver is actually an even better example of it. If we look at silver, you go back, what goes straight up usually comes straight back down. It's an emotional rally. And then when it fizzles out, it's pretty dangerous. So that's kind of where we are. I know we'll touch on silver and miners later, but look at the silver miners ETF. Like, you could go to any person and be like, what usually happens after one of these big straight up rallies, right? It's not rocket science. So that's what people need to be aware of. It doesn't really matter what the economic situation is. There's always a unique market situation. It always feels like this time is different. It always feels like the currency is going to crash, the systems are going to implode. But the people always seem to find ways to make things continue to work. And so it's best just to follow price action. So if we were to just squish this chart down a little bit, we could see where this could potentially run up to, which would be about that 51.52. So there's still another big green bar or two on this monthly chart where it could really go straight up. And I think if it does that, I also think it's probably going to come straight back down into the 4,000 range or potentially even lower. How it's going to unfold and when is anybody's guess. Nobody knows, but we just have to have a game plan and understand what the options are for it and how we're going to attack each one and manage our positions depending on how that moves.
I remember the sentiment talking to a lot of gold people. I've heard so many people say, I think gold wants to be hit the 4,000 mark. Does gold now want to hit the five? Do we, should we think of gold as it seems like to be it likes to hit certain numbers to and then it kind of like falls back down. Is that something that you would anticipate happening?
That's called kind of like whole numbers. So like if you're a day trader, this is very important, especially when you're trading smaller stocks. But whole numbers are like significant numbers. 4,000. People will say if it's below 4,000 and it's in an uptrend, people are going to be like, well, I'm going to take some profits at 4,000. I think it's going for 4,000. Once you break 4,000, they're like, okay, well, I'm gonna sell some if it hits 5,000. And then of course, if something's above that price and it's coming down, say it's above 4,000, they're like, well, I'm gonna buy some more when it hits 4,000. It's a round number, right? So it's the same with individual penny stocks. Every 10 cents is important, every dollar 50, $10, $20, like decade numbers. And so for gold, it seems to be more so the $1,000 mark. Everybody always seems to always shoot for the 1,000 mark. So we broke through 4,000. It kind of had a little blow off phase. Everybody got excited. It's now pulled back. It drifted back down to 4,000 as support. And now it's starting to head up. And I think the next run, probably pushes up to that $5,000 plus mark going forward. So there's definitely a significance for those levels. Generally, if you're above a whole number like 4,000, it should act as support roughly. If you're under 5,000 and you come up to 5,000, it's probably going to act a little bit as resistance. There'll be people selling, locking in profits. Some people will be shorting it at that price. So those numbers, depending on what side, is either going to act as support or resistance.
Chris, you mentioned 618, 61% recent previous rally and 100%. If you can explain where that comes from a bit, I don't know if that's particular to gold. Is that a trend that we've gathered from, the past 20 years or 40 years? Where does the number come from?
Well, the Fibonacci sequence, people should really look it up. It's pretty amazing. I did a video on how to use Fibonacci extensions, how to figure out where I call them invisible targets. The nice thing about Fibonacci, it's in the universe, flowers, the universe, the cloud formations, everything is pretty much built around this sequence. If you've seen like the conch shell and these weird spiral, that's what it is, right? So people should definitely look it up. It's a reoccurring theme in almost everything in the world, and it relates over to emotions. It relates over to charts. Charts really are just emotions of people. And the way it works is what I like about it is most people don't use it. A lot of people don't know about it, and it gives you these invisible targets. So, I mean, we like for example, when we draw an upside target here for gold, so we're having this giant rally up, and so that is the first move to the upside. This pullback is going to tell us where these next upside targets are based on psychology, based on momentum, based on just the way things move in this world. Everything vibrates at different vibrations. It's telling us we should see like 4,700, we're probably going to run into resistance there. And it might only be temporary, but we should run into some resistance. And then when we do hit the 100% measured move, you should expect some chaos. Typically, when you hit 100% measured move, the price usually kind of goes a little bit haywire here, and we tend to see it either blow through it temporarily and it creates a feeding frenzy, or it gets rejected very quickly. And that's exactly what happened with this one. We had a 100% measured move hit right here, and then we went into this feeding frenzy, and it chops things up. It doesn't mean it's the exact high. It just means that's where chaos is about to hit. Sellers are going to step in, people are going to have FOMO, and then they battle each other out in this noise, and then the dust will settle, and then it'll regroup for the next one. So definitely look it up, because it gives you these targets that no, other people just don't know how to gauge in most cases. And when it's amazing when you lock in profits and you know these targets that the market and the universe is kind of gunning for, it really takes a lot of stress off.
Chris, would you mind transitioning to silver and showing us the invisible targets and applying this principle with the 618 with silver and how it differs with gold?
Sure, yeah. So if we were to look over to silver, and we could take this recent low where it really started to break out of this kind of bull flag pattern, we can get an idea of where silver upside targets are. And silver's already had a very nice run. You can see the next conservative, this is the most conservative kind of target for silver, is about 56 and then about 63. Now there's a couple different ways we could draw this. Now if you're like a, you know, if you want the real bullish outlook for silver, saying, okay, well, here's a standout low, here's a standout high, here's the current pullback, this will tell us kind of where that next move is, which is about $71, $72 for silver. Now, I usually don't gun for the big targets. A lot of people always like to put those on because people love big targets. But the reality is, I like to stick with things that are likely to get hit. The problem is, if you put these big targets on things, Steve, people throw risk out the window. They're like, holy crap, look how much I could make. And they're like, they put in a huge portion of their portfolio. And then when it does backfire, they get absolutely slaughtered. So I like to take these very conservative approaches, and I like to hit targets. I like to trim profits, move my stop up, and kind of play it that way versus reaching for the sky and then missing it and being like, wow, I rode it all the way up and then I rode it all the way back down because it didn't hit this pie in the sky target that somebody screamed out, right? So I generally don't throw out big targets. I could put out way bigger targets and everybody would watch the videos, but then they're always disappointed and they're like, it's taking too long, it's not working. And they also throw, my biggest thing is trying to manage people's emotions and their money. Not manage their money, but manage the risk their portfolio has. And everybody throws always the biggest targets out, and it makes people make stupid decisions. They just overbet, right? And I don't want people to, I've done that. I've blown up three accounts. I've been bankrupt before. I've gone down that path, and I would much rather hit a bunch of first, second, third base hits over and over and over and over again and miss out on some really big rallies. But no, I just kind of keep growing and don't have to worry about, you know, I keep risk in control. That's my whole focus.
I want to get into that whole emotion stuff in a little bit, but when it comes to silver, my understanding of silver is that it tends to follow gold and it seems more volatile. First of all, I don't know if you see silver primarily as money, industrial metal, if it matters, and do you expect it to continue to move and follow gold or, follow a different path?
I think they kind of move together. I really kind of put gold and silver in the same category. I put miners more or less in the same category. They're kind of all one trade. It's just some move more than others, right? I like gold the most simply because when chaos hits, gold can keep moving up, but silver might get hit, miners might get hit. I like to look at the stock market like the ocean tide. Like what happens to all boats when the tide goes down? They all go down, right? So the nice thing about gold and silver is they're a commodity outside of the stock market. So when we're in a bearish environment or there's selling in the stock market, meaning the tide is going down, if you hold gold miners, those gold miners are little boats trying to stay up while the tide is going down. So you might as well just shift out of the equity space and go into the physical metal side of things so you don't have that tide pulling on you. Gold can just keep rocketing higher, have some really nice upside with a lot less volatility than miners. Silver, to answer your question, how do I see silver? I don't really look at the metals or anything really so much from like an industrial standpoint. I still look at it strictly as people move to precious metals when they're nervous and scared about the financial system. And silver is kind of like the little brother or the little sister. It's really volatile. It usually follows the big brother, which is gold. And it's more emotional. It's a smaller market. It moves fast. And Yeah, it to me, it's a good gauge of what more aggressive traders are doing. Naturally, people go to silver because you want bigger returns. So I look to silver to see how of the sentiment of the precious metal space. Like right now, silver is making some all-time highs and gold isn't quite there yet. So it's telling me, I think we're seeing definitely money, more aggressive traders moving to silver, getting, they're already front running and saying, I'm getting in front of this next run, where is gold is slower and it usually caters to more longer term investors, investors with bigger portfolios. They want something more stable, not as volatile, but they want to put more money in it and still play the precious metal space, where silver and miners are like people like, I'm swinging for the fences. I want the one that's going to move the fastest. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it gives me insight as to who's moving this market. And yesterday, for example, which was November 12th, we had a million emails and comments of people wanting to know everything about silver and gold. How high are they going? You know, can we get more? All of that stuff. And the fact that silver is hitting some all-time highs is telling me it feels like a little herd mentality, a little overbought. I think we're going to see gold and silver take a pause or pull back here, just because people switch really quickly to be like, they need to be back into metals. And that's an extreme sentiment short term, that it needs a little bit of a pause and pull back. And that's what we're seeing a bit today.
So that's the I love the analogy of silver being the moody little sibling that likes to follow the older brother, but kind of is moodier. Are there specific signals between gold and silver that you find particularly interesting?
Not really. I like, no, I really just look at them both independently. Generally, I look, I like gold for buy signals. So when there's a buy signal in gold, that to me is the signal to move into everything else. So I like gold as the signal, and then you can just veer off and jump into something in the precious metal space after gold has that signal. I
So
just find it's more accurate.
you keep an eye on the older brother, and then you leverage the younger one.
Gold to me, it gives me a gauge of the tide. Is the tide going up or down? Is it breaking to new highs, like out of a bullish pattern? And so if gold is doing any of those, then you can expect the other ones. The other ones might have already broken out, like for example, silver here, but I wait for gold for the confirmation, because sometimes silver, as you know, is really volatile, and you can get these fake breakouts, these shakeouts, it makes a new high and then reverses and falls really quickly. So I kind of wait for the older brother to be like, no, this is the way we're going. And it'll drag silver up later, but it might not break out till after silver's already got you in. It's put you through the washing machine, through the roller coaster ride a bit. And then finally it'll pick up and take off.
So applying to 618 and looking at charts and kind of similarly, if you can give me a visual of kind of where you think it might possibly go, that would be helpful for me and I hope our listeners.
Yeah, well, I think the next move up in silver is going to be about $63, which is about a 19% move to the upside. I mean, there's potential for a much bigger move. If we were to go back over here, we could see, let me just draw this up here. You can see there's about a 35% potential based on this recent run and the pullback in silver. And what's interesting is if we were to compare. So I have these two comparison charts, which is the left side is 2006, 2007, the stock market put in a high, and the yellow line is the price of gold. The right-hand side is where we're at today, and they're similar. Both of them have been on a tear, ripping to the upside. Gold has been outperforming. When gold is moving higher, you got to be aware. Gold is the global barometer. Look at planet Earth, like the hive mentality. Everybody on Earth, it doesn't matter what country you're in, everybody's buying gold because they sense something is going to break in the system somewhere. There's going to be some big bad news or some event. People are moving to gold and silver because they're scared of the government, the systems they don't trust, the currencies they think are collapsing. Nobody trusts really the banking system, all of that stuff. So people are moving outside of that and they're buying physical metals. That's what happens. That's what savvy investors do just before, when they sense something bad. And so if we were to look at this chart, we can see gold, we kind of had this consolidation, and we have the same consolidation where we are right now. The stock market actually started to sell off and it fell about 20%, while gold rallied about 30 plus percent. And so I think the stock market is getting close to stalling out, and I think we're going to see another big push higher. And what's going to happen is, like in 2007, I think money will eventually come out of the stock market, Steve. And then it's going to be like, where do I go? And money's always looking for a return. And then people naturally chase the top performers. So gold will be outperforming, which it is. They're going to move into the precious metals space. So all that money coming out of equities dumps into precious metals. And what's really interesting is if we kind of zoom, go back a little bit, and we look at these other comparison charts. So below here, I've got gold miners, I've got silver, platinum, and palladium. And we saw a big movement in all of these to the upside recently, which means mass participant, people are all piling into anything precious metals related. We've also seen a recent little pullback on the weekly charts here of them all. And what's really interesting is if we go to where we are right now, you'll notice we've seen the mass market pile into miners, into silver, platinum, and palladium. And so I think we're going to see something similar where the stock market's going to start to struggle here. Gold, silver, platinum, and palladium miners, like look at like this second half here is they all shot up. And if you look at the percentage moves on these, they all moved up like 34, 40%, very significant moves, right? 50%, some of them 60%. So we're just starting to see it turn up right now where we are in this market. So I think we've got like the stock market's going to struggle. I think precious metals as a whole, the whole complex, is about to have another push higher. And that's why I see gold, at 5,200. And who knows how high it blows after that. It could have this blow off top and go a whole lot higher. I just give out actual targets of what the charts are saying. Doesn't mean that's the top, but that's the direction and what to expect. So I know the economic situation is different. I mean, every market condition is different of what's happening with the governments and interest rates and all that stuff. But price is mimicking what it's done in the past. And price really follows two things: fear of missing out, so people driving prices up, and fear of losing money and people sell it. And so it doesn't really matter what the news is. They're either buying because they're bullish or they're selling it. And so, when you look at the charts that you can get rid of the news, you're like, okay, well, we have a very similar setup taking place. I'm expecting higher metal pricing. I'm expecting some bad news to hit in the US or the globally, or something's going to break. And I think that'll crack the stock market to the downside, and precious metals are going to pop and move up.
I think I read that foreclosures were up 20%. It's just the housing market, and you got the 50-year mortgage being discussed. I mean, it really could just be anything. And when you were comparing the today's charts to 2007 and 2008, I found that very striking and interesting. But what do the ratio charts tell you about where metals sit compared to the rest of the market? Do you sentiment do you see Where do you see the sentiment at this point? And do you anticipate, are you able to see from the technical perspective just kind of where things are at?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the housing market, it's kind of interesting. Like we could go back, if we take a look at the housing market is very interesting. That whole 50-year mortgage thing. I mean, I think you go to like China or something. I think they have like 100-year mortgages. Very totally different kind of lifestyle and way over there. But the whole 50, yeah, the governments and the systems here just keep lowering the bar. Everybody's a winner now, right? There's no losers. And if you can't afford anything, they're like, let's just give you like a double length mortgage, and it costs you a fortune over the long run. And they keep changing the way they calculate economic data. So really, if we were to see the real economic data, we'd be like, this market is weak as hell. So everything's just constantly being adjusted, and it's like nobody wants to lose. It's like playing a game of Monopoly, right? Everybody just keeps like pulling 500s out of the bag and be like, no, just keep going, pay me rent. And so I hate it because it's a rigged game. I'd rather just see the pain. We need pain for growth, believe it or not. It does reset things. You can't have everybody a winner, or eventually something big is going to blow up. And I think we're already beyond that. So let's just go back to the real estate space is crazy. If we go back to 2003, 2004, we started a new super cycle in gold. Then gold went sideways for a few years while stocks, this was in 2006, 2007, gold went sideways while stocks and real estate went through the roof. And then suddenly out of nowhere, we saw this great big run up in gold shooting higher with the stock market. And again, this is the 2008s. So this is what's happening right now. When gold starts to take off, something big is about to break, right? And so if we zoom back in time, here we are right now. We had the new super cycle start in 2019. Gold went sideways for several years while stocks and real estate went parabolic. And then suddenly gold now is doing the same thing. It's shooting up. It's saying, whoa, something is way out of whack and something is going to break. And so we're in this run up here. And the big question is, how sharp is, when the top comes in, how sharp is the pullback going to be in the economy, in stock market? Typically, gold and silver will pull back with the market. Not always, but it will for a good chunk of it. So there's definitely some risk. I think we could see gold eventually, even if it goes up to like 5,000, 5,200, it could easily be back into the $3,500 mark, a year from now. When everything shakes up, I think after that correction, I think it'll be one of these where we have multiple years, and that's where gold goes to like, 10 or 12,000 or something crazy. But we need to get through this whole first roller coaster wave completion before that happens. So all the stuff that's unfolding is really interesting. The Fed and the governments are kicking cans down the road. They're trying to make everybody not lose their shirts, but it's going to make for probably a worse scenario in the end from them doing all this.
So you see gold as a barometer, as you said. I find that very helpful as an illustration. So do you see this as being like the first inning in terms of it getting really ugly before gold jumps to 12, 10, 12,000?
Yeah, I believe we're coming into this right here, which is the 2008 kind of peak. I think we're getting very close. I think gold can still squeeze higher and run up quite a bit. But I think this is kind of like the last, I think the next breakout here is the last run up. There's some money to be made. It's going to be a strong momentum move for short-term traders. I also think after that, it could be a very good point to potentially trim off physical metal positions and reallocate once there's a reset. I mean, I don't believe in holding into a big bubble when all the levels are hit and everything's going absolutely crazy. I have a lot of custom tools that I use that allow me to get a gauge on sentiment. So I have a very, very good feeling of what people are thinking and feeling and what they're doing with their money on almost on a daily basis with short-term indicators and long-term, because that's a very powerful indicator to know when to be trimming profits, when to be moving stops up, when to be mentally prepared that, hey, the music is great right now, but it is going to come to an end, right? And it's going to be who can lock in their profits before they're given back at some point. So I think one more push up, and then it's like buckle up because it's going to be a pretty wild 1 or 2 years after that of strong selling and recovery phase. And the economy will be, I think we'll go into some type of recession, and we're going to come out the other side. It'll be a whole new world. We're going to come out with robots. Everybody's got robots and AI. I mean, it's a whole recession is going to allow a lot of growth, and it's going to be like probably rebuilt on the AI and robotics side and a lot of job replacements and all that stuff. AI is still so young. People are just starting to get it figured out. There's some
Which
pretty
is
amazing things
crazy.
out there. It is. It's exciting. It's scary. It's crazy. But yeah, I think 5 years from now, especially if we have a financial reset in the next year or two, we're coming out the other side. It'll be a very different world.
Before we move into the ETFs and miners, you brought this up. You said you've got a lot of tools to understand people's feelings, the sentiment. If you can kind of give us a kind of a sneak preview behind a curtain, if you're able, just to kind of like what kind of or what are they, what's the sentiment now? I mean, what are the charts telling you? What the tools do you have that are showing you things?
Yeah, well, so I have a few different ones. Let's pull up this sentiment chart right here. So I have this is the chart of the Nasdaq, and it's color coded. It's based on sentiment, and more or less it's telling us what people are kind of doing with their money. So when it's deep green, it means there's a lot of money moving into the market. People are bullish. When it's light green, it means it's weakening. Yellow means it's neutral. Red means there's some big bouts of selling. A deep red means there's some distribution, like big money is flowing out. We generally want to follow the ride the coattails of big money flows. And so you want to avoid the market when it sells off, and you want to know when the sentiment is changing. We're starting to see some big bouts of selling in the market right now where we're at. So there's definitely some distribution going on. This is one of the tools. This weaves in some technical trend analysis. It weaves in some cycles and money flows between about eight different asset classes. So this is telling us which way money's flowing. Because, if money's flowing from, say, utilities into the stock market, then we know people are, they want to take risk. But if money's flowing into utility sector, they're moving for a defensive play. Utilities, first off, they pay dividends. Second of all, it doesn't matter what happens to the economy, we still need electricity, we need running water. So the utility is not going out of business. So when people are nervous, they move to utilities. And it's the same with gold. When you see gold, running up, that's like people are nervous about stuff. They're looking for protection. And usually gold's a few levels higher. It's like, no, they're worried about currencies. They're worried about government. They're worried about all kinds of much bigger things, not just, where to run in the stock market. So that's a couple of the things. The other thing I like to follow here is this. We have this little indicator, a couple different indicators on our 30-minute chart that we follow here. It tells us when the market gets into these kind of overbought, oversold conditions. It's kind of, I'd need to kind of break it down in a nutshell from really high level. Let me just grab a pencil here. But more or less, if we zoom in on this chart, let me just zoom right in. So it tells us when we have very short term, this is very short term sentiment. So when this green indicator spikes above this blue line, this is called panic selling. And it usually tells us once it spikes and starts to reverse back down, usually the market's put in a bottom. It's telling us how many people on the New York Stock Exchange are selling shares on the bid. They don't care what price they get out. They're literally hitting market order. They're just like, get me out, get me out. And when that spikes up to a ratio of three or more, meaning there's three people hitting the market button to one person kind of buying on the ask, that usually signals a short-term low. It's just an extreme level. Everybody's running for the door. And typically a contrarian play is when everybody's going in one direction, you should probably buy it. It's probably a good deal. And then the market will generally have a bounce and move higher, which it did. The next day, the market had this big gap up. And believe it or not, the next indicator is our FOMO indicator. This is telling us it has a huge move up and now everybody wants to buy it. And they're like, they literally go from selling it to like, now they need in. And it was overbought all day in the FOMO indicator. And then the very next day it gaps down. And we actually had this spike up within the 30-minute chart here, but it spiked up and everybody bailed back out in the morning. So, these are very short-term charts, but it allows me to get a gauge on what's doing. And then of course I can branch out to daily charts with similar type of analysis and what different sectors are doing of what the market sentiment in a nutshell is telling us. The other thing is like these lime green areas. This is when you're in an uptrend and we get lime green bars. That's telling us that the price has moved too quickly to the downside and it's kind of short-term oversold. So once it's oversold, you're like, okay, well, once it runs out of steam and starts to reverse, it should start to move higher and start another uptrend and eventually go higher. You couple that with panic selling, and you can really nail some short-term pivot lows in the market. You can see over here we had some panic selling short-term. Well, it was right over here. The market opened. We had panic selling, and then the market goes and rallies higher. So this just tells us literally the market flipping and flopping on a daily basis. But having your finger on the pulse from a 30-minute standpoint, and then I have tools for the daily and the weekly charts for the longer-term trends and bias. It really allows us to get a gauge of what people are doing. And so you ask, what are they doing right now? What is the sentiment? Well, believe it or not, over this volatility in the last few trading sessions, we haven't had any extremes. People are just kind of waiting. And that's what I keep telling subscribers. I'm like, we got into this oversold condition. It's bounced up, but there's no real panic selling. There's no FOMO buying. People are really just trying to figure out, they're letting the market go where it's going to go. They're like, I'm not getting involved until I feel like it's clearly in a downtrend or it's starting a new rally. And so right now the market is just trying to shake things up. It's trying to work it off. And today we saw a nice gap down, which I like gaps to the downside when we're in an uptrend. We broke a pivot low. We broke another pivot low right through here. And so that's going to try and flush the market out. I wouldn't be surprised if the S&P 500 goes a little bit lower and pierces this low. Every time it breaks one of these lows, Steve, it's running the stops. It's spooking another batch of traders. And if we look at like QQQ, which is the NASDAQ, it had a whole bunch of these just layered very, very closely, just underneath each other, each one. And of course, it broke them all this morning, and we saw a bout of selling, and it's got this price gap. And price gaps on these stock indices love to get filled. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the NASDAQ the S&P 500 come down, fill these gaps. Eventually, we'll probably see panic selling spike up as it gets down to these levels. People will start to give up. They're like, "Oh crap, this is a big sell-off," and then that could mark a significant low, and then the markets go higher. So I know that's like zoomed in on the very, very near-term charts, but that's what the market is trying to do. It's trying to shake people out. I would say where we are right here, this strong bounce, and this little pause, and now this shakeout. I would say it's very similar to this one over here. We have the strong bounce. It put in this level here, and now it's going to try and shake everybody out just before we potentially, shoot off to some more new highs next week.
So, Chris, I can't believe it's already mid-November, and
I know.
my understand, like we're at the final push or the final end of November, December, where things kind of tend to slow down for several sectors. Do you anticipate that happening? Is that kind of part of what you're seeing with the sentiment? Is just kind of like a wait and see sort of thing, or and what's the best way to for investors to position themselves?
Yeah, so I think the equities market is still, the trend is still up. So I think you need to be long equities. We're long the indices right now. If we look at the seasonality over the past 30 years, if we look at October, usually gold, or sorry, we see the stock market struggle in October, and then it rallies up into the last week of October, and it struggles into about where we are right now. So the stock market is kind of pulling back. It's trying to find a bottom. I think next week, so November, 15th, 16th, 17th, somewhere in there, I think we're going to start to see the stock market go into that holiday rally. I mean, we're already in the holiday rally phase. It came out of the October low, but we're about to, right now, we got a tail or a headwind. The tide is going down seasonality wise. People naturally sell the first 2 weeks of November. So I think we're about to have a nice push up in the stock market, which bodes well with the current chart pattern, saying we need another couple of days. And then I think stocks are going to find a bid and a tailwind and go higher. And it's very similar for gold. Gold topped out in October. It's pulled back and now it's found its low in November. It's starting to move higher. I mean, if we just look at the chart of gold, it's the same with the stock market. Both of them are mirroring their sentiment charts. We had the top in October. It's now pulled back for several weeks. It's mid-November and now gold is off and up and to the right. So we should see it move higher for a couple more weeks. And then potentially the last couple of weeks of December, we'll see another push up. And so we're in a good situation. This is a great time of year. I mean, it's holiday season. It naturally, I think, is a pretty positive one for a lot of people. Snow's here with me. We've got Christmas set up in our house already. Northern
Where are you,
Canada.
Chris?
We're at north of Toronto. So we've already had our Thanksgiving. And of course, first snow fly, it's like Christmas comes up. We head south for some of the winter. So it's like we got to get our fix of snow and Christmas here. But, now we got this tailwind. Usually we see a holiday rally into the end of the year, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's what is likely to happen based on the current market setups.
Chris, can we just jump in real quick about on the miners, ETFs, if you
Sure.
can look
Yeah.
at GDXJ, walk us through, and what are you seeing, and
Yeah.
what are you
So
anticipating?
we have a very similar type of chart pattern. It's similar to gold and silver. There's a few different levels we could pull off this. If we were to use just a Fibonacci extension, we can get an idea of where miners could run to, which GDX, for example, has the potential to run up to about 92, 93, and then all the way up to about 108. So it's got some pretty good upside potential going forward here. Now, the only issue is, like in 2008, the best performing move, really, when it comes to the last push higher, we saw gold do exceptionally well, where miners struggled. So, for example, where gold at this point could really just kind of work its way up like this, miners kind of moved up and then they had a big pullback and then they pushed a little bit higher. It was a real struggle. It really underperformed at other times. And again, that's if the stock market starts to sell off a bit, it's naturally going to pull down on miners. But overall, I mean, I think we're still going to have a big push. I think percentage-wise, they could have a nice run to the upside. They're showing about a 30% upside, 38%, which is actually the move that they had back in 2008 as well for that last push. So, and gold has the same, about the same percentage move. So my trade-off is like miners are volatile. They might not keep up and carry a lot more risk, or you can have the same potential return with gold, which is pretty darn sluggish and slow from a volatility standpoint. So I naturally gravitate to like, where can I make the most return with the highest probability, which is gold, and the least amount of volatility. So I always do that with any asset I get in. I'm like, okay, what's the best way to play this so I don't have to sweat bullets and like, you know, worry when there's a huge reversal in the miners or something like that. And so gold to me is the sweet spot. But there's no doubt money is about to probably be piling into gold miners and they're going to have a really
Yeah.
nice run. It's
Chris, I found the sentiment chart being so helpful. Now like you said, have FOMO, don't want to miss out. We're scared. And so, I'm an emotional guy and I've made many stupid mistakes.
We all do.
and so curious as to, you're using your sentiment chart, like how do you protect yourself when markets get choppy, headlines get loud, and are you able to share a mistake that you've made that you've learned from?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say most of my mistakes for when it comes to trading are in the past. I follow very strict rules now. I mean, blowing up accounts, going bankrupt. I became a pilot at the age of 16. I've like really nailed down things to a checklist. I have a very detailed trading rules list, and no matter how I feel, I've grounded into my who I am and what I do is the this. I follow the rules, and generally the ones I don't want to get involved, I'm like, I don't believe in this trade. I don't want to take it. Those are
Yeah.
usually the best ones. And so I find if you're really emotional
Yeah.
and you're getting in or out of a trade, you need to get like a third opinion. You need to get some analysis because usually emotional trades are bad trades. It means you're panicking out or you're panicking in because you're like, it's leaving. Everybody's got gold but me, right? Like you're like, I'm left out and I can't take it anymore. So if you've got an emotional trade, you kind of need to step back and be like, how do I get a technical take on this? Where is it? What's the trend? What sh if I knew what I was doing, should I be long or not in this, right? And you got to try and clear your mind. So I think some of my biggest trades are like revenge trading and averaging down. So like, you know, things start to go against you and you'll be like, you know, I'm down too much. I can't get out. I'll just ride it out. Typical saying. And then people will add more and they'll add more. And one day, one of these pullbacks or these little pullbacks or these bigger pullbacks is going to be the next financial reset, right? And you're going to lose probably half of your portfolio, if not more. You're going to waste probably 3 to 5 or 8 years of no returns and under pressure and all that stuff. And so, and I've been through that. I've done that and I didn't like it. Most people don't. And so that is like my whole goal is I'd rather just hit a bunch of first, second base hits. I don't swing for the fences. I think the mistake is not following price action, is not having a game plan. People who follow the news and they go off what they think is happening and they read other people's big opinions of, you know, this time is different and this is collapsing and this is going to break and gold's going here and there. And like, it doesn't matter what we think. And it's so easy to get sucked up in people's opinions because I'll tell you, I don't listen to negative stuff anymore. I don't follow anyone else's analysis. I just put my blinders on like a horse. I just follow the markets how I follow them and I manage my positions. But it's so easy when I read some, you know, subscribers will send me like, you got to read this or you got to watch this video. And I watch it. And man, I'm really good at controlling myself with trading. But after I'm done watching, I sit there, and I second guess. I'm like, it makes me want to change what I'm doing. And then I'm like, what am I talking about? This guy is like just totally playing, you know, 100% fear, and he's giving dead like solid numbers. It's going to here, and this is going to here, and you have to be ready. And like, and then it's like a huge red flag. I'm like, okay, I got to snap out of this because it sucks you in emotionally. The story and all the things happening in the world,
Right.
they do make like it sounds like there's chaos, and gold should go ridiculously high. The currency should crash, and all of this stuff. But I've heard the same stuff since I got into this space in 1997, and I've never seen silver have the huge short squeeze. I've never seen the currency crash or collapse, right? So I think people need to do themselves a favor and not follow people's opinions because it, and follow the news. They need to follow somebody who tracks price. That's what I do. It's just follow price. If it's up, we want to hold it. If it's going down, we don't. And if it's going down strong enough, we buy an inverse ETF to profit from falling pricing. And you just have to really not feel like you're going to miss out on anything. There's always another trade. You don't ever have to be in a, like a lot of people think you always have to have all these trades. I'm like, no, we're in cash like 30, 40% of the year between trades, waiting for the next setup. We still earn interest every day. We earn dividend payments on our cash positions using BIL. And we don't have to worry what happens most of the time because we're on the sidelines waiting for a clean trade. And we move in, we make the money, we move out. So it's yeah, I think the mistake is following the news, following people's expectations or their calls versus just following price.
Chris, how do people learn about technical traders and, take advantage of the services you offer?
Yeah, well, the best way to go about it is just to follow me on YouTube. The Technical Traders is my channel or my website, thetechnicaltraders.com. And all I do is I manage my own portfolio. I've managed it since 2008, more or less, and I share it with other subscribers. So you know exactly what ETFs I'm trading. I only trade ETFs. It's for managing larger portfolios. So you can just move all of our money into an ETF or two or three. I tell you when to get in, what the stops are, the targets are. We really just trade together. I follow the markets. I share exactly what they're telling me and what I'm doing. And we all trade the same trade alerts at the same time. And it's a really good learning education. Most members who find me, they're like, I wish I found you 10 years ago. And like, it makes so much sense. They call me the David Attenborough of the stock market because on the craziest days, I'm calm and cool. I'm like, we saw this coming. That's why we're not even in it. And with, all of this stuff, right? So if you want to learn and feel like in control of your financial space and not feel like it's a question mark of where you're going to be a year or 10 years from now, that's what I offer. I'm like, we have a way to just navigate these markets bar by bar safely, no matter what happens.
Chris, I don't know about 10 years ago, but I do wish I'd met you sooner. This has been awesome and very insightful. Appreciate your insights and going over gold, silver, ETFs, and just your philosophy on things. And so, for those who want to follow your work and insights, we'll make sure to include your links to Technical Trader in the show notes. I'm Steve Yang, everybody, learning alongside you from people smarter than me. Stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Chris, thanks so much for being on the show. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Anytime.